All right, welcome everybody. The all new, brand new channel, Not Bad for Business. See, this is a little different. This is going to be Bad for Sports. This is where all you your sports fans who don't want to listen to just like the Bad for Business funny stuff want sports talk. This is the channel for you. I am joined by the one and only Charlie O'Connell. Charlie, how you doing, buddy?
Hey guys, happy to be here on the first podcast for Bad for Sports.
Yep, that's what we're going to call it. All right. We're going to stick with the Bad for Everything theory. Now, we did have Bad for Fantasy, FanDuel channel, which we were doing in fantasy sports. Charlie, you had...
up $200 for the season.
That's where you're at.
That's where I'm at.
I think I'm minus like 900 in all. Like I quietly... because it doesn't feel like a lot in one shot.
Yeah.
Because I put in like maybe like 50 here, 100 here. You do that for 16 weeks.
No, I put in 50 and I lost it. I put in another 50 and now I'm up to like $312.
Oh, God. Well, we're done with that for at least a year. Yeah. So now the NFL playoffs are upon us. I've been watching. I don't know if you've been watching and how much you've been watching. We base a lot of what we do off of video games. That's been our thing.
A lot. I base all.
Your fantasy picks are almost all off of Madden stats, right? Yeah. Like, you look at things like, oh, he's got 98 agility. I like that.
Mind you, I came in, I think the best I came in one of our FanDuel things was I had three in the top 10, and one of them was, like, third. But I also, in one week, came in 440th. I hit last place, which is not easy to do either.
Half your team didn't play. I remember that week.
I mean, like, I can tell you, I've been at the top, not the tippy-tippy, but, you know, third place is in the running.
In FanDuel, that's remarkable.
And I have been in dead last.
Oh, well, I came up with this idea today, and I almost wish I came up with it earlier, because you and I have done something like this. Like, usually it would start with, like, NBA 2K. We get the basketball game out. We'd play both sides of a playoff. And we try to, like, maybe make it as close like what's going on in real life. Like, if, say, if the Clippers were playing the Warriors in the playoff series, we'd play that. We'd kind of follow along with the season. We decided, I came up with this idea, I called you, you made it happen. We went on Madden today, we did this all today, and we played.
Now, what? To be able to be like, oh, wait, I got to go to work, let me grab my joystick, is by far the greatest job one could have.
Did this make you happy to get that call? Be like, I need you to work today.
Oh, yeah. I tell my girlfriend, I was like, hey, listen, got to go to work. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm playing video games. She's like, oh, sounds like your day off.
Oh, my God. Well, Jesus, my microphone just fell down. Sorry, everybody. Hold on real quick. This is what happens when Bree ain't here. The whole thing goes to shit. The microphones fall down. Bree wants no part of the sports podcast.
And listen, it was not an easy day of video games. We had a blackout.
Oh.
We had construction.
Oh.
We had a cleaning person with vacuums.
It was like,
we were going, the girl showed up and a big touchdown was scored right as the door opened. I am the cheapest video game player there is, and I'm proud to say it. I use all things.
Maybe we should call this Bad for Video Games. We should have a video game channel next. That'll be our next channel. Well, here's what Charlie and I did. So I called him up. I said, Charlie, come over. We're going to play all four remaining playoff games. We're going to pick teams. We're going to play. And that's how we're going to base our picks for NFL playoff weekend. And he said, great. Comes over. So obviously the games are, we got Ravens, Patriots. Now, we set everything up as is. Like, I was the Patriots in this particular battle. I was the home team. We tried to set the weather conditions as close as we possibly could do, so on and so forth. So I was the Ravens. Charlie was the Pats. Now, going into that game.
I was the Ravens. You were the Pats.
I inverted it. Charlie was the Ravens. I was the Pats. Going into that game, before we played, what did you like? What would you have bet your money on in real life? What would have happened?
I would have bet it on the Patriots
for sure. -7.
Yeah, it's
well, just
hard
to win. Whatever.
To win. It's hard. It's hard to go with point spreads in games, but I would probably I'd take the points too.
What made
I mean,
you
I'd still go? I'd still go with. I wouldn't take the points.
What made you in the game in Madden? Then you decided to take the Ravens. You got to choose that one.
Yeah. We had to pick our battles, and the thing was that playing the Patriots, I've always had trouble with them because Bill Belichick is so sneaky that his plays are too sneaky for me. I want to know who I'm passing to, and everything's his buttons are. not of my.
He's like an inverted controller. He's essentially.
He's a mad scientist with all those plays. They don't work for me in the game.
Backside robber, Foxtrot One, Omaha,
and the running back. You got like it's
just
all,
four of them.
I don't have it.
All right. Okay. Then we went. Let's see. After that, then it was Cowboys Packers. Now in real life, I believe the Packers are going to win the game. We're going to let you know what happened. I was the Packers. You were the Cowboys. What made you choose the Cowboys?
Well, first of all, because it was the one game that you insisted on not being the Cowboys.
That's my one rule. Because I would have thrown the game because I hate the Cowboys so much. And so that's the one I want. Preview, spoiler alert, the game I wanted to win the most in Madden is going to be this Packer-Cowboy game. And that'll come back later when you hear it.
And I love DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco, he could play. He could play. Okay, and then we went over, and then and here was your trade-off, kind of, because you jumped at the Panthers in the Panthers-Seahawks game. Now, obviously, the Panthers are heavy, heavy underdogs going into Seattle.
Yeah.
They've been playing well in real life. They've won, I think, 4 out of 5. They've won throughout the month of December. Cam was a little banged up, but the Seahawks have just been lights
defensively,
out.
Unbelievably.
Just all the way, or they are just at home, like, they're lights out. So, you took the Panthers, which, not to win, you wanted to use the Panthers to play.
Yeah.
Which immediately tipped me off to the fact that you were up to something. And I think what you were up to, by giving me the Seahawks the way you did, you then claimed who?
The Broncos.
The Broncos. In the final game, Broncos-Colts, I was the Andrew Luck and the Colts versus Peyton Manning and Charlie's wicked offense of the Broncos.
Biggest game of the four. We can agree on that. Like, it's going to be the most watched game. It's going to be the biggest game. That's the game to watch.
Prime time. I mean, Cowboys-Packers, too. I think, but
a lot of Cowboys fans, we get that.
I think the primetime game for us in Madden was Colts-Broncos.
Yeah, and we played it last because it was coming to that. And the reason I took the Panthers is because you were in a pressure cooker position. You know what I mean? And the thing was, like, it was like, I don't think I was expected to win that game. I tried my, you know.
You wanted to play underdog.
Yeah. Take a breath. Do the best you can.
You like Cam Newton.
I love Cam Newton.
Because you love speed.
I love Cam Newton. He's so much fun. If I'm playing the computer, Cam Newton's one of my top picks besides RG3.
You know, because you love, different than every other head coach in the NFL who hates a running quarterback. Every time I feel like in Tech Mobile, you were probably Randall Cunningham.
I'm 75% play action.
That is true. You are play action. Yeah. All right. Well, now this is what I want you at home to pay attention to. All right. This method is either going to be the smartest thing known to man, or it's going to be the dumbest thing you've ever heard when you actually try to pick off of this. The reason why I wanted to do this, because I'm watching every ESPN, I'm watching the NFL Network, and they are so damn good at dissecting a game. Now, I almost could, like, take what they're saying and regurgitate it like it's my own and sound smart. But yet, you never quite know. And I learned from fantasy when we had our girlfriends on, and I feel like they beat me that week, that there's no real rhyme or reason to pick the games. Like, yes, the Seahawks could win, should beat the Panthers, but let's play this out on a video game and see what happens. Now, these are my picks. The outcomes of these games are my picks. This is who, to me, the final four will be after this week.
I feel like we did as much research as any pro researcher did. And, guys, if you're having trouble paying the rent, I would say bet your money on what you hear here. And really don't worry about it.
And don't worry about where you live.
Don't worry about
it. It's only a house.
Just bet it all on these picks and you shall succeed.
Now, I do say, this is unorthodox. You will not get this kind of insight and analysis anywhere else. It's only at Bad for Sports. And here it is. Let's get into the first game. Ravens, Patriots, Foxborough Stadium. All right. We led off the game. Patriots got the ball. And in your mind, what were you trying to do? What were you most worried about when I got the ball?
The pass. Definitely the pass all the way with Tom Brady. And I was worried that it's not the Patriots' defense that I was so concerned with. It was that every time you touched the ball, you were going to score.
Well, here's what happened. I got the ball first. We went to Gronk early. He was going over the middle with some short passes. And then I missed a deep ball. But that, no bad thing. You know, you blitzed a couple plays. It ended up being a 7-play, 73-yard drive that ended with a Gronkowski touchdown.
Yeah. You were 7-0. Dying for Gronkowski to score.
7-0. I was force-feeding him the ball.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that hard. And similarly, I think that's what Tom Brady might do this week. Now, you get the ball and immediately start going no huddle with Joe Flacco and the Ravens.
I'm going anywhere I can. And look, the thing was, is like I was panicking from the first quarter in this game. You know, like it was the first game that we're playing. I haven't played you in a while. In a long time. It's probably been a year since we've played football. And all of a sudden, you got the Patriots. I got the Ravens. And
you know, there's no Ray Lewis that's going to come out of the huddle to save you. Lewis is no Ed Reed. These are not the Ravens you may have remembered, Charles.
No, and I love Flacco, but this is a tough game.
Well, you know, my good buddy Skip Bayless on First Take likes to call Joe Flacco Joe Fluco, meaning like there's some games Flacco he led them to a Super Bowl, and then there's other games where he stinks. That's Skip's take, not mine. So here's what happened. Charlie went no huddle. He tried early to get the ball. Forsett was running the ball well for you. But then you had, in your no huddle, you had a Madden meltdown. The ball wouldn't hike.
I also had a, like, I thought I got a first down, and all of a sudden I got inches, and disaster set in. Tucker?
You ended up in your first possession, 51 yards, down 7-0,
down. We put a lot of wind on that game. A
lot of wind. We tried to simulate the Foxborough conditions, and you drill a 51-yard field goal with your boy Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's 7-3 game. He's hanging in there. Let's see what happens then. I get the ball back.
Well, halftime was 7-6, right?
I get the ball back. I ended up, you get a big hold, had to punt. No, wait, that's not what happened. You ended up getting like a late TD. Did you ever have the lead in this game?
No. It was 7-6 at halftime. That's what it was. I somehow stopped you, or I got an interception.
I remember what happened.
I got an interception.
You got an interception, ended the half. Then when we opened up, you had the ball. I injured Forsett, your running back.
Uh-huh.
Injured him. It was a fumble. And basically, then it just that the wheels started to come off.
Off to the races, that. Off to the races you went, and I don't think I got another 4 yards in the whole game.
We're gonna sum it up with the really defining moment in the game. Charlie was still hanging around. It was like 14-6. He went at Revis. I came up with the big user interception. For those of you who don't know, that's when you actually switch to the guy, to the defensive back, and pick it off yourself. I picked off Darrell.
I will remind you when I did a user interception too. But thanks for bringing it up.
And basically, and there was a make or break play, and I just coasted from there. Joe Flacco went on to go 11-for-18, 167 yards, no touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Disaster game. Tom Brady, 20-for-30, only 181, 3 touchdowns, 2 of which to Gronkowski. And it was just a field day.
Guys, bank on it. That's how it's going to go down.
It just looked to me as if...
And what was the score?
The final score was 28-10. 28-10 Patriots. So that's where we want you guys to go. They cover big. And basically what I felt about that game was the secondary of the Pats was too strong for anything.
Once the wheels came off, Flacco or I...
I'm sorry, 28-12.
I don't know if I want to speak for... If I want to say Flacco couldn't or I couldn't.
No, say Flacco. You say Flacco.
Flacco could not go deep. Once he got behind, 6-7, there's still a control of the game. I thought the defense was playing good. But once it was time for me to put up big points, like I got to score a touchdown and I got to score it now, I had no chance of doing anything. I was completely... useless.
And I stand correct. The final score, 28-12, folks. Charlie did get a late touchdown with Bernard Pierce, and then he went for 2 and he did not get it, but the game was well in hand. We were already celebrating going to the AFC Championship game.
Still covered the points.
Still covered the points, and then some.
Bang on it, guys. Bet the house.
And you seemed a little down after that.
Nobody likes losing in the playoffs.
And then I gave you some advice. I said, well, the loser gets to pick the game we play next, and if I were you, I wouldn't want to make my next game going into Seattle. I feel like that would be a monumental disaster and the fastest way to go 0-2 quickly.
The one thing you need is momentum, and at this point, it is true. You could see it on my face. I had none.
And where'd you go after that?
I went to Cowboys. I went to Dallas. No, I didn't go to Dallas, though. I went to...
Green Bay in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Now, as we know in real life, Aaron Rodgers has missed practice, and the word on the street is he has some kind of like little tear in his calf, and he's been hobbled now for quite some time, but he's playing. There's no chance he's not playing. He made it very clear, I'm playing. I'm not missing this game. Cowboys have had an unbelievable season. They won a playoff game, which is always good for the Cowboys. Packers, I believe, are 5.5-point
I believe
favorites.
The Cowboys are all healthy, right?
All healthy. I mean, they're a little bad, a little injured on the offensive line. They're still missing like a Sean Lee on defense. But for the most part, this is the team they've had. There's nothing glaring out that I know of. And you were really, did you have a game plan for this?
I just tried to, first of all, I'm coming off a big loss on that first one. So, I just tried to settle in, look, it's not much of a game plan. Try to make you not score and try to score when I get the ball. That's it.
And here's what you did. You opened up and I believe, yes, you got the ball first. You're running the ball. You're jamming Murray down my throat. I don't even know if you passed. I think your first five plays were runs. And then I crept up with a safety and you went over the top to Dez Bryant. And Dez scored on, I think, a 42-yard touchdown. Take a 7.
It was the first play in the two games that was just Dez Bryant completely alone.
How I leave Dez Bryant alone, I thought I switched up. And look, by the way, Packers secondary is not the best secondary in the league. That could very well happen. Here, then, you kick the ball off to Harris. I return it, and I take it to the house.
I forgot.
For a touchdown. But actually, I break a few tackles. I cross the 50, the 40, the 30, just as I get to the 30, and I'm
clear. You're already at the 20. It's a late whistle.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
A flag comes in while I'm at the 20-yard line, starting my high step in, clipping penalty on me.
Can't even see it. The cameras aren't showing.
And I'm not going to lie, I never quite recovered because I was so excited because I don't think I've returned a touchdown yet in Madden this year. So I was so fired up. What a great time to do it. That would have totally disheartened you.
I would have had to start all over again.
And then it got called back. And then you ended up, I think I had the ball in the 31. You held me to a Crosby field goal.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't betting on the Cowboys defense to do any damage. It was really like, you know, they got so many weapons on offense. I was just trying to keep it going. And not let you pass the ball, you know?
You got the ball back. Then you started dinking and dunking on me, little six-yard slants, five-yard outs. And then once I'd come up, you'd hit me with a DeMarco Murray run. And you did that for a while. And then you busted one. You went about 20, 30 yards, and you busted a 66-yard touchdown with DeMarco Murray. So you've had two giant plays.
Giant plays.
It's 14-3. I've had a touchdown called back. Second quarter, starting to wind down. I get desperate. I start letting Aaron Rodgers wing it. And then on one play, end of the second quarter, or might have been the beginning of the third quarter, I take off at Rodgers on a rollout, and he ends up holding the ball for a 7-yard gain, and you pop him just before he gets out of bounds. And what happened?
Aaron Rodgers, no mas.
A leg injury. They did not say what it was, but it might have been the same exact leg that is hurt now. And
So you're behind, you got no Aaron Rodgers.
And now I'm behind 14-6, and I have not been able to stop you, really. It might even be 17-6 at this point. And then I never really got anything going. You picked off Matt Flynn right away, I think, when he came in. Actually, Matt Flynn had a little drive going.
He's got a little momentum for a second, but then it was a pickoff.
You picked him off. Then you went the length of the field. Then you got a short little touchdown with Jason Witten.
And then it's just desperate time.
And that was it. Final score, Cowboys 28-10. And honestly, that score is a lot closer than it really was.
And I just want to say, take no offense to this, Jerry, that game really felt like men against boys. You know, it wasn't a close game. Sorry, I just knocked the cat into the
lamp. We can say what happened. Bree just walked in. Anna just walked in, and Bree just walked in and knocked the lamp down in the studio. Nice, Bree.
I didn't knock it down. The cat went after the globe.
Oh, I can't see. Charlie blocked me out. It looked like you knocked it over. Anyway,
for all your sports fans, the cat was playing with the snow globe. Justin.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys will want to tweet about that later. What were you saying about it was just a men against boys game, huh?
It was. That's what it felt like. It felt like I could do no wrong. I'm going to score. I blow some big plays. And you got to admit, you felt like you couldn't do anything in that game.
DeMarco Murray had like a 140. Dez had 88 and a touchdown. It just was. It was.
What was
easy.
The final score? You don't want
to.
Talk
about it. 28-10 Cowboys.
Cowboys
like
covered.
I said, Cowboys covered. They were getting points and
bet it, guys. The Cowboys covered. Bet the house.
And honestly, that game did not even seem that close. Then we go to Seattle. What happened in Seattle, Charlie? You were nervous about Seattle.
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, I got Cam Newton. This is a game that I wanted. I picked that one. And shit, I don't think I really did anything on offense. In the beginning, I looked okay, right? The first
this
quarter?
This is how the game went, folks, and this is exactly how I think the game's going to go. First quarter, you hung in big. I had the ball first. Keekly was all over the field.
That's right.
Making tackles. Russell Wilson was using his legs. Marshawn Lynch was breaking tackles. It was just...
Marshawn Lynch down the middle. Marshawn Lynch
down
the middle.
3-4 yards at a time.
Keekly stepped up, gave him a good couple whacks.
Yep, I got a field goal. You kind of got the ball, and then you actually shocked me because you started again, slant, little tiny dink and dunk plays. You actually went the length of the field. You scored on your first possession. So it ended up being like 7-6 after the first quarter, and then I started bringing...
Things started to change fast, and once it changed, you scored.
I scored right? to make it, 10-6, I think I was up.
If I scored 7-7, it was probably like 14-7.
No, it was 10-7. I was up by 3.
Okay, 10-7.
And then I think I might have added another field goal, 13-7 at some point. All I know is it came to a critical point in the game where the game was well in reach. It could have went either way. It was like middle, end of the third quarter.
I'm in shotgun. I do a play action. I try to roll out to, what's the tight end? Olsen.
Greg Olsen.
One of the twins.
And the Olsen twins.
I tried to roll out to one of the Olsen twins. And it was a huge Sherman. I didn't even see him. Lights out. Interception.
Game breaker, really.
I thought I was so wide open. I thought I was going to take that to the house. And next thing you know, you got the ball. And I couldn't recover.
Were you able to do anything on offense? Do you see the Panthers, based off of what you saw in this game, do you see the Panthers being able to do anything against the Seahawks?
As soon as Sherman took that ball, there was 50% of the field that I couldn't throw to anymore. I was so devastated by the whole thing that happened on the right side of the field that all I had was the left side of the field to work with. And half a field, Cam Newton's right-handed, can't go left. It was a disaster after that.
Force him left, like he's playing pickup ball. Force him left. Well, here's a final score for you. And it was close, actually. It was 7-3 at halftime. Neither team actually scored in the third quarter.
Baldwin was the only wide receiver you had that caught anything, from what I gathered.
Baldwin caught a touchdown in the second quarter, and then I had 4 field goals from Hauschka. Steven Hauschka, and the final score was 19-7, but it was 7-3 at half, and that interception actually happened in the fourth quarter, and I put up 4 field goals in the fourth quarter.
Oh,
I put up 16 in the fourth.
I mean, I think what the moral of the story is this, is guys, take the under.
Seahawks and the under, 19-7, so us at Bad for Sports, Charlie and I like the Seahawks 19-7, and then we have the main course. The game that you basically let me get the Seahawks for so you could have the Broncos. Your only home game in this Madden battle, Broncos, Colts, and wow.
And this is the game I'm most nervous about because...
Why?
Well, first of all, because with big games becomes big responsibility. And to have Peyton Manning and a team of this... multiple dimensions, you know what I mean? With a sick offense that you got to throw the ball, and you're good at defense. And
user,
you
know, pick.
The thing is, like, I gotta. This is a must win situation. It's a big game. I'm coming into. This is the game I wanted. This is the game I chose. Peyton Manning's a big responsibility. You got to win with him.
Well, I thought this would be the closest game. So far, all 3 games were pretty one-sided and over. I mean, the Seahawks game was close for a little while. I thought this was going to be the game that, all right, this is going to be the battle, last team to have the ball scores and wins. I believe I got the ball first. And yes, I know I got the ball first. I ran the ball twice. Andrew Luck dropped back for his first pass, intercepted by Talib. You got the ball back, and then you literally went 4 plays.
Sanders slant. I ran the ball once.
Sanders slant, touchdown. Andrew Luck gets the ball back. All right, 7-0 on the roll. Let's quiet the crowd. Let's figure this out. Goes to throw an out route, intercepted by Raheem Moore. Doesn't go to the house. You get the ball in a similar position. And again, I think this time you threw...
I didn't run the ball much. I'm throwing all the time. I think Wes Walker missed one.
But this was a touchdown for Demaryius Thomas touchdown. One was. So you're up 14-0. And what do you think happens? I get the ball back. Andrew Luck. Now we're going to settle down. Now we're going to settle the crowd. interception. He went one for
this
four.
This one was a user interception, by the way.
He went in the first quarter.
I told you,
I'd
let you know when it was. This one was all me.
And Andrew Luck's been known to throw some interceptions in real life. Andrew Luck went one for four for 4 yards and three interceptions, and the Colts are now down 21-0, and it's a problem.
No, I kicked the field goal that time.
So, 17-0.
17-0. And this was close. I mean, like, I brought that all the way to the 19-yard, but couldn't score.
Now, I did figure out something on defense that helped me hold you to a field goal. But either way, I get the ball back. I'm almost saying let's quit.
Quit forever. I never want to play Madden again.
Let's go tape the podcast and be done with it. Denver wins, and we'll do this again next week. So, I said, let me see what I do on this drive. I wanted to see if you could throw a fourth pick. Got the ball back, and then I started doing no huddle, mixing in some runs, and he actually went 80 yards down the field and hit T.Y. Hilton on a fade pass for a touchdown, and all of a sudden it's 17-7, and now I'm kicking off to you. And then I think I held you to a field goal on your next
Not
drive.
Even. I think I tried to run out the clock or something, and then I rushed the ball thinking that was working. Next thing you know, I spent like 15 seconds, and you got the ball back.
Guys, I know you listening. This is supposed to be a sports podcast, and I really want you to follow these picks because I think this is interesting sports analysis. But on the video game side, what you should know about Charlie when it comes to Madden, and we'll talk about his 2K basketball playing habits too. We'll definitely podcast about that in the future. But if he has a lead in like the third quarter, he plays keep away. He's running the clock down, the play clock down to one. He's playing it like an NFL coach would.
Look, here's the thing. When it comes to any video game, I play like I'm from the Cobra Kai dojo. I sweep the leg. There's no fear. There's no mercy. That's just how it goes down.
Well, I had one last charge in me. I got that touchdown. You got the ball back. I think I might have held you to something.
Cobra Kai?
Cobra Kai. I don't know what you said. I thought you just... Cobra Kai. I was going to let it slide because I know you know Cobra Kai.
No. Cobra Kai. I mean, don't let Karate Kid slide ever.
Johnny, you're a cream puff. I love that fucking movie. We should do a whole recap on that. So I fought my way back in. I think at one point, I got it down to... Well, I think I got it down to like...
No, it came back to a game. It was a game by halftime.
I got it down to 20-14. Let me see if I can actually see what the halftime...
I'm not sure, but halftime it all of a sudden turned into a game again. And I think I was only up 3 or 4. I was up 3 or 4, whatever it was. You just keep on searching. I'll keep on saying 3 or 4.
No, I can't. I actually didn't snap any screenshots of it, but it was a game. But you got the ball at halftime. You marched. Once again, I have this written down. You marched down the field, and this time C.J. Anderson... who I think had like 187 yards.
He started, and now I'm starting to run the ball. You're running the 3-4. C.J. Anderson has been great all season in football because everyone's got to go 3-4 against him. And once you start running the 3-4, C.J. Anderson just starts piling up yards and piling up yards.
Well, I had one shot. If I could have held him on that halftime drive coming out, I might have had a shot. But either way, this is not about what we did.
Well, I guess the main thing that happened was, sum it up there, was it was a 4-2 for me, right?
Yes.
I'm up by, what, 10?
Yes.
4-2 at the 40, 50-yard line?
Yep.
And I end up going for it at 4-2. And I got the first down there, and that flustered you.
Questionable ethics, I thought.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't think it, but I thought the 40-yard line, why punt for 20 yards?
I don't think John Fox does that on Sunday.
I think he would, because the thing is, those 4 yards would give me another 5 minutes off the clock, at least, and a field goal, as opposed to just giving you 20 yards closer.
Well, that basically ended it. He got the first down. He was able to... waste some more clock, and he scored the final
and
score.
And mentally crushed you right there.
That was it. It was over.
I mean, that's the thing. That's why you go for that.
Final score, biggest blowout of the day. Broncos 41, Colts 14. And you know what? So this is what you could expect from that game at home. Expect the Broncos to come out fired up. Expect them to get out to a lead. Then expect the Colts, as they usually do, and they did last year in the playoffs. The Colts played the Chiefs. Colts are down like 24-0 at half. Came back to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So expect the Colts to find a way to claw their way back in. But when push comes to shove and there's that pivotal moment, like, okay, the Colts can hold here and maybe they're really back in it, Peyton Manning will make that play, and then the Colts will break and the Broncos will win easily. That is our prediction. So to recap, we have the Patriots 28-12 over the Ravens. We have the Seahawks 19, the Panthers 7. We have the Cowboys 28, the Packers 10, and we had Aaron Rodgers not finishing the game. That's what Madden had. And then we had the Broncos 41 and the Colts 14.
And I just reiterate, these are definitely going to be very, very close to the scores that are going to happen. And this is probably the most close that you can get in sports to exactly what's going to happen on Sunday. So, guys, you know, bet it.
You've heard it here. Here's what I want to say. I want to thank you guys for listening to this because this is experimental. And believe me, if we go 0-4 or if these scores aren't even close, we're probably not going to do this again.
No, I would say bet the house. And if it doesn't work out, blame Jerry. And if it does work out, just remember I said so.
And please know he is joking and this podcast is comedic. We don't condone betting here at Bad for Sports. It's bad.
I will not bet my house on this. Like I said, I've only won $200 because when it comes to betting, I bet very, very little. But just, you know, FYI, my house won't be bet on it. But if you want to go for it, please blame not me.
What's the percentage that you think? And all right, now, if in the real world, talking for a second, what do you think this actually, the way the game's played out, does it seem like that could actually be a possible way that they could play out?
As far as after playing them like that, I got to say, I really don't believe it's going to happen any other way. I mean, maybe the Green Bay game, Cowboys could be any different, but I think the other ones are a lock on the way that they're going. You know, maybe the Cowboys game, maybe. But I really think, like, just looking at them all, like, you got to get a real look at, like, the Seahawks defense. They're unbeatable when it comes to...
When they're at home, specifically, just, they can't lose.
And I really think Denver's gonna crack the Colts.
All right. You been enjoying your Clippers this year, Charlie? I know you're a big Clipper fan. You've been enjoying the Clippers?
Clipper fan. I just got back in town, and I believe since I've been here, they've been 5-1 or something like that. So
you're the reason why they're playing well.
No, but I'm a small part in 2%. It's like 2% me.
I think I'm gonna have to come to a Clipper game with you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've only been to like one game, two. We've been to two games.
We went to the Knicks one, and then we went to another one where the guys in front of us were awful. There's nothing worse at a game than sitting next to people that are awful, especially when it's an exciting game. And I think that one was the Miami Heat game.
Yes.
You know, it was. So we're all That's excited right. to have a big game, and we got this jackass in front of us.
Who I was a big Miami Heat fan living in L.A., which, you know, that's normal.
Well, I don't care what you're a fan of, and I don't care what you want to cheer for. Just stop turning around and talking to me. If like you want to say something, great. But like, let's not make this a four-quarter conversation. I'm here with a friend. We've made a point to like be nice, but now we don't like you. And don't put your arm on the back of the thing that hits my knee. Your elbow should not hit my knee, especially if you're bigger than me, because then I can't tell you like, hey, get your elbow off the chair.
What's your favorite thing to eat at a Clipper game?
Oh my God, they got new nachos. They got new nachos. What's that place? Maybe it's Macho Camacho.
Like
nachos.
The Camachos at like City Walk?
Oh, it's a little stand. If it's not that, it's the Golden Arches. But this new nacho place is awesome.
If you could see the passion in his face right now,
no, I'm
folks.
Telling you, we just found, believe me, when it comes to food there, there's only, the Barclay Center has the best food in NBA.
But the Staples is pretty dope.
The Staples, these nachos, they're the shit. Literally, I went in the handicap bathroom. They were the shit, but I mean, well worth it too. Don't get me wrong.
I would like to go to a Clipper game in the relative near future.
Yeah,
and not when they're playing. How do you explain what's going on with the Knicks? Do you even know what's going on there, Charlie?
I believe they can't win, and if you can't win with Carmelo Anthony's got to go. That's my.
But they just signed that he's not going anywhere for a long time. They
well, then
locked him up.
I guess what's going on is the same thing that's going on with the Lakers. They locked up Kobe Bryant. It's not working out. If something don't work out and the main person's, you got to blame it on the main person.
They basically now, they traded J.R. Smith. They traded Shumpert. I don't know if you know.
I love Shumpert.
Shumpert's now on the Cavs with LeBron.
Oh, my God.
J.R. Smith is on the Cavs with LeBron. They traded. And then Deion Waiters went from Cleveland to Oklahoma City. And then the Knicks got back three players from Oklahoma City. We were hoping it was going to be Reggie Jackson. It was not. And then they announced when they got the players on Tuesday, they said we were going to cut these three players on Wednesday. So basically, they are just dumping. And now there's rumors that they're trying to trade Calderon.
Are they still paying Penny Hardaway?
No, but Larry Johnson's coming off the books after this year. So, I mean, but that being said, the Knicks will have $197 billion to spend next year. We're going after Marc Gasol. We're going after Dragic to pair with Carmelo. Amari comes off the books. Amari's done after this year. No more paying him. They will have the most money, I think, ever in the history of the NBA to spend.
And they just redid Madison Square Garden. I mean, don't get Madison me wrong. Square it's Garden nice. It's looking good great. And it's ready. It's ready for it. Madison Square Garden has always been ready for a good team.
I went to the Christmas Day
They're some
Day
of the
game.
Greatest fans. They get in there. They tell the refs what to do. They boss them around. My favorite thing probably in any game was at Madison Square Garden. The first time that I was sitting there and they played the Rocky thing with Adrian. And they were like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And he was like, win. And the crowd is unbelievable. Like, that's the, you can feel it.
It's the best. It's the best. I went there with a buddy of mine, and I was talking to the dude sitting next to me who wasn't really like a bad. He said, "I'm not really a basketball fan. I watch hockey." And I said, "Oh, well, that's okay. That's good." Because I was like, my buddy who I'm sitting next to was on the Knicks like as of a week ago, but they cut him. He said, get out of here. I'm lying, Charlie. I'm not telling the truth. My boy, I was making a joke saying he looks like Cole Aldrich. I don't know if you know who Cole Aldrich is. Like, who is actually playing well, but I never expected in a million years Cole Aldrich would get on the court. So I literally said, I introduced him. I said, this is my buddy Cole Aldrich. Yeah, but don't say anything. The Knicks literally cut him last week. And he's like, oh, that's terrible. At 5 minutes after I say that, out of a timeout, entering the game for Samuel Dalembert, Cole Aldrich, they're like, what? I'm like, I was just kidding around. My buddy looks like Cole Aldrich. And I basically, I got found out. I got caught.
Did they cut Calderon too?
No, they're going to try to trade. They're looking to trade him.
I like him. Calderon.
He's great, but he's not your 35 a minute point guard. Like he's
no, he's got a great three-pointer and he can pass the ball real good and he's somewhat tall, not great defense, but tall enough to like hold his own in defense. I think he's like 6'5".
The Knicks thought, he's a little smaller, but he can play defense. The Knicks thought that, and look, I know they weren't expecting to win a championship before the year started. That was not the case. But they thought Calderon, who has a high IQ, Carmelo Anthony, and then they were going to rotate like Bargnani and Stoudemire in that triangle that Phil Jackson loves. Through Derek Fisher, they were going to run that and it just never even started.
The thing is, the Knicks should never not be in the playoffs.
And now this is going to be their third out of 4 years not in the playoffs.
Did
no,
they get their
two
draft
out
picks,
of three.
Or they always give
no,
away
now
their
they
draft
got.
Picks.
That's the thing. We had a great draft. Believe it or not, we had a really good draft. Like we got Cle Anthony early, who's going to hopefully be a good pro. We have picks this year, thank God. And that's the other thing. I really think I'm done with the lottery, man. Because there's a chance that the Knicks could be this bad and might get the sixth pick. And that would be awful. Like the 76ers last year won like 9 games. Should have had the number one pick. They got the number 3 pick because of the lottery. And the Knicks and the Sixers are going to be the worst two teams in the NBA this year. And there's a chance that neither of them will be a top 3 pick. And I think that's terrible.
Right. No, I'm not saying that the lottery is fixed or anything like that. But there was not. But there's not. There was not a school event that I had that I didn't cheat on. So I always got conspiracy theory in my mind.
I just, man. I don't really, I don't understand why. Like, if you're the worst team in the league, you should get the number one pick. The lottery system works.
Well, they just can't have you throwing games either, though. You know.
I guess, but I don't know how that stops. Tanking in the NBA is not going anywhere. It's not going to stop. You know the rumor that how the draft was being fixed, right? Did you ever hear this story?
No.
I think I might have read this.
Except it was last year or something like that, or the year before when, was it Charlotte or whatever got the number one pick? Or what team?
Cleveland.
Cleveland got the number one pick.
They had the number one pick 2 years in a row.
And then the NBA, yeah.
Yeah. Here, I obviously have no idea if this is true, so I'm not saying this is true. This might have been in the ESPN book, but the year the Knicks won the lottery and drafted Patrick Ewing first, which the Knicks were terrible, and they wanted New York to be good because it's New York. And this was back when like they would reach into the big thing and pull out the envelopes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the ping pong balls. Legend has it, and I'm sure a lot of you home have heard this story before. I don't know if it's true or not, that they froze the Knicks envelope. So when he reached in, David Stern could feel. Yeah, now look, that's a big accusation. I don't know if it's true. If it's a fun story to tell on a podcast, yeah, or if like you're with buddies at a game, but legend has it that that lottery was fixed.
I got a quick question for you.
Okay, I probably don't know.
No, because I was thinking about this and I was talking to Ann about it the other day, and somehow we started talking about when the NFL, if Los Angeles gets a football team.
Oh.
We keep on talking about this. Are you going to be a fan of that football team? Because we know everyone knows you're a Giants diehard.
Yes.
Will you go to the games? Will you get season tickets? That's really only saying 9 games. I know I'm getting season tickets.
Oh, 9 games? 8 right, games.
8 games.
Well, I was about to say, unless you're counting them having a home playoff game in the first round.
All right, 8 games. I'm not a mathematician today either. 8 games. But I was just trying to talk you into it. Sorry, it's only 8 games.
Wait, are you asking me if I'm going to be a fan, like a fan?
The first thing I'm asking is if you get season tickets.
I was about to say something really douchey. I'm not going to say what I was about to say.
Would you commit to 8 games?
How much am I spending?
Let's see. 8 games.
I like good seats. How much am I spending?
If you're
everything.
I'll tell you
how much.
I'll tell you how much I'm spending. I probably try to get like a 200. I'd spend $500 a game for 2 seats. That's $1,000 a game. I'm spending $8,000, and I can sell them back.
Figure round it to 10 grand for parking.
I got Clipper tickets, you know? The games I'm out of town for, I sell them, I break even.
So 500 a ticket for 8 games, you probably have pretty good seats at 500 a ticket, right? You got really in football.
Yeah. Maybe I'd go 250. All depends, but I just want, like, first of all, I want in. You know what I mean? I want in the arena. If I got to spend 500 or 250, I want my seat.
I would for the first season. But here's the thing. I'm not transferring my love to another
team.
When
the Giants come, you're wearing Giants gear.
For sure.
And you're not wearing the home game
And here's
gear.
The thing. Like, I wouldn't go to a game, and it's luckily this really wouldn't happen often because the Giants are on the East Coast. But every now and then, because the Giants and the Jets obviously both play in New York.
I'm a Jets. Look, I'm a diehard Jets fan, and they are awful.
No, but here's my...
And Rex Ryan's gone, and I'm so sad about it, but I'm so happy that I can't be sad.
New beginnings.
I'm so not sad.
I would have a problem because every now and then the Giants are in New York or the 4 o'clock game because the Jets play early and they don't play at the same time. So I wouldn't want to go to like an LA Chargers game while the Giants are on.
Right.
I just would never do it. I would never go watch another team play while the Giants are on.
I'd much rather have the Raiders.
If you could pick, all right, let's see. They talk Chargers, about the Chargers,
Raiders, and there's
Rams.
One other Rams. I take the Rams. Or, I take the Rams too.
Now they're saying that this isn't going to happen, but everyone thinks the most likely, like Jacksonville, would be a great team.
Look, I'd prefer the Rams for one reason. I love the Raiders. I like wearing the Raiders stuff.
The Raiders.
But the thing is that like the fans are abusive. Not like to just. I mean to me. I mean to like my girlfriend that I bring. It's like 7 guys whistling something, and I got to act like, I got to say something like, shut up, don't turn around and keep walking.
Next thing you know, you're in a fist
fight. I'd like to act like a tough guy, but like you might have heard I'm not good at math from saying 9 games or 8 games, but when it comes to like 7 guys whistling against me,
you know those
I know the math. And it doesn't work out turning around and being like, hey, you talking about my girl or something.
Why don't you say that to my face, bro? Why don't you say that when I'm looking? I would throw 10 grand at it, but I would also like...
You'd only go to half the game, so it'd be 5 grand back.
There'd be games I would miss, so I'd sell those tickets, or I would really find someone who really wanted them or give them to charity or something. Yeah. But I would maybe just then, hopefully, just maybe I'd go once or twice with you, so maybe I wouldn't buy anything.
Yeah. Come on down.
But here's the thing. Like, I got asked a lot when the New Jersey Nets were moving to Brooklyn. Like, oh, because I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be a Nets fan, right? And I don't understand how people could do that. Like, I grew up, I just don't understand.
It's a good thing to say because I grew up in New York City. And I'm a huge Knicks fan, right, when I grew up. But when Van Gundy left,
you gave up.
When Van Gundy left, I left with Van Gundy.
That's fair.
You know, and I moved out here, and because I was a Knicks fan, I couldn't be a Laker fan, so now I'm going to Clippers games back in the day. And I'm talking about with Sean Livingston, Elton Brand, Corey Maggette.
Did you go back to the Darius Miles days?
Yeah. Wow. We had Darius Miles on his first couple seasons when he could jump out the building.
Yep.
You know, when he was going to be something special. I'm not saying he wasn't. He was great for the Clippers. Corey Maggette. Our seats were right next to Corey Maggette's mom and Lamar Odom's mom. And so I moved out there. And it just so happens these days, now they've got a sick team, you know. But I wasn't going to cheer for the Lakers. So I got these Clipper tickets. And it was fun when they won. And they only won one game every, you know, 2-3 weeks.
Well, that's what I'm going through now. And honestly, but I don't even get one win every 2-3 weeks. This is going to be an epic, epic disaster of monumental proportions. It's not going to get better. This is the first time now, like, I got no real football playoffs to watch.
Well, I guess what I was saying is when I went back to New York, I love the Barclays Center. I went to a Knicks game, and the next night I went to a Nets game.
See, I could never...
You can't show your face there because you think, like, you're disrespecting the Knicks by going there.
I could not just look at the Brooklyn Nets like and look at Joe Johnson and Garnett, Darren Williams, and Paul Pierce when he was there last year and be like, yeah, go Nets. I hate those guys. I can't then just be like, oh, but they're from Brooklyn now, so I got to represent. Like, I'm not saying I'm going to root against them every game, but I'm a Knicks fan that's never going to change. Like, I feel like if I would have grown up when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn... when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers, I would have probably followed them out in L.A. because I start rooting for the team of where I'm from, but then I fall in love with that team, and then I'll follow that team wherever they go. Like, I would have followed the Dodgers to L.A., I bet you.
Yeah,
If the Knicks moved to Connecticut, you know, or if they moved to
Tampa. Look, I guess what we're saying is I'm a Jets fan. Don't get me wrong. But if we get a team out here in Los Angeles...
Your loyalty's up for sale.
You know, I'll get on eBay, I'll get on Amazon's, and I will and I'll get some gear, and we'll see how it goes.
Your loyalty's up for grabs, and you can be swayed with a good time.
I can be swayed with a good time. Yeah. You know, the thing is, like, I go to a
good concession.
I go to a Knicks game. I watch them lose. I go to the Nets game. They win. They got great food. Girlfriend's with me. She's screaming, look, there's Beyonce. Everyone's having a good time.
If you're lying, then you better put a ring. Oh, is that Beyonce? I don't know. I try to sing once an episode. I like that the girl sat. You guys went and got frozen yogurt and then came back and you actually toughed it out with us for a little while in here, listening to us gibber about Madden and basketball and football.
Go Browns.
Yeah, Browns fans didn't even know what's going on. All right, Charles, that's it. We got our picks. We talked a little hoops.
I hope you enjoyed it, guys. Don't forget that I hope our picks are good.
Patriots, 28-12. Cowboys, 28-10. Seahawks, 19-7. Broncos, 41-14. That's who we like over here at Bad for Sports.
And we learned it's the Cobra Kai Dojo.
Cobra Kai Dojo. Sweep the leg. Sensei, do it. By the way, and I swear to you, I'm going to investigate this. If you think for 1 second, Mr. Miyagi, when he went like this backstage, if he wasn't rubbing HGH on Daniel LaRusso's leg, then what was that? That was testosterone. That was a steroid that he did.
I you know what? Maybe
what,
I
the friction of his hands?
Yeah. It was some like Tai Chi shit.
No, that was deer antler spray is exactly what it was. He put it in his hands, he rubbed it on the joint and on the muscle, and it was HGA. It was illegal. It was performance-enhancing drugs.
My brother and I did that to each other for years afterwards.
Yeah, and did it work? Like when you sprained your ankle when you were a kid and Jerry did that to you, did your ankle all of a sudden get better? No.
No.
No, because Mr. Miyagi...
Jerry didn't have steroid cream.
Mr. Miyagi uses performance-enhancing drugs, and there's other people in the movies that I know used it too, and there'll be more on that on the next episode of Bad for Sports, everybody. Charlie, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the first episode. We'll get this thing right. If this works,
yeah, guys, look. If we're really trying here, we're really trying. So just like, you know, come on, give us one more. Just give us one more episode to win you over if you didn't like it.
Yes. If these picks hold up, we're gonna then go on and play the next round's games. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for Bree for like setting up the mics.
So this way we knew we were. The globe.
Thanks for hitting the globe, Anna. Thank you for sitting in and just literally just listening to us ramble. And thank you guys at home for listening. We'll do better next week, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Bad for sports, everybody.